So here we are. Guess we waited 10 minutes into it, 10 minutes into this before I say the date, but this is the, what is this? This is the 4th, March 4th. Okay. I haven't had the big day coming up yet. So this is March 4th, and we are in part 3 of the proper pastor. And this, I keep asking myself these last couple days, why are we talking about this? I mean, are there pastors out there that are going to find this and say, oh, you know, I've always wondered what the King James Bible says I should be doing as a proper pastor. No, if anything, it's just for the young people. That if they want to do something right for God, they want to tell people about this, and they want to even be brave enough to take on the pastorship, then here's our pattern. Here's what we should be looking towards. And we've seen so far, in part one and part two, that we're going to suffer reproach as a Christian, as a Paul-following Christian, because we're trusting in a living God. We're not following an unknown God like they have. They don't know anything about it. So whatever they come up with for their satisfaction, then that's their God. And while we know we trust in the living God, we understand the living God, and we're not going to suffer reproach from Him when we do something wrong. The reproach and the suffering and the persecution is going to come from the people when we're doing the right thing. We realize from the last couple of verses we've been looking at that a pastor, he's going to encourage his people to have a public testimony. Well, who wants to be told or reminded that what you're doing isn't a good testimony? Well, what's a good testimony? Well, is it expedient? Was it edify? Is it just an occasion for the flesh? Which we know that's the big one we all fight. Paul even fought that thing, his flesh. Does it cause somebody to stumble? And is it a power over us? Can you stop doing this? Well, no, we got things we can't stop doing. We can slow down. Every once in a while, we just splurge and do it. So we got problems. But we realize, again, that God isn't going to chastise or put the hammer down on us. It's just we have the judgment seat coming up. So because of that, we all are not, you know, realizing, oh, I got to do this. God's going to get me. No, God isn't going to get me. So we do it. That's just the thing. So our public testimony is important, and the pastor is to encourage his people to do the public testimony, not only for the public testimony's sake, but for the judgment seat of Christ that's coming up. This pastor must be able to rightly divide the scriptures. Why? So he can show these people, his people, how they can be approved unto God. And it isn't just based on the walk. The walk is how to please God. But you can't please God until you're approved of God. And rightly dividing the scripture shows us how to be approved. Is it by what we do? No, it's because of what Christ did to us. He made us approved. Now that we are approved, now we can learn how to please God. That's what the pastor is supposed to be doing. The pastor is to guide us into the manner of life that the risen Savior has told people to follow based on Paul's teachings, which is what the risen Savior taught him. So he's to preach this public testimony in a manner of life. Our life should change. We've seen in the previous scriptures that we have a pastor to be like a father to his people. Like to be like a father, not just an instructor, not just a preacher, not just a professor who could care less if you get an A or not. You ever had those in college? You got 60 kids sitting out there. Oh, I'm probably going to flunk about 3/4 of you. I'll tell you that right now. Those kind of guys. No, he tells these people need to be like a father. And his illustration of a father is one who exhorts, you know, preaches at them, charges them, but he also comforts them. Now, when you hear something like a pastor is supposed to be like a father to his people, first thing that some people think of is to think of Jack Hiles, because Jack Hiles always said he was like the father to his congregation. And they looked at him like he was their father. You know, he did the comforting, and he probably did a fantastic job along those lines. He cared for his people. But he cannot be the final authority. And us fathers tend to think that we should be the final authority. And I've been thinking the last couple of days, because I've had some hassles with a couple parents, blah, 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 that a parent, parenting, is trying to teach our children how to help them avoid the mistakes that we've made as adults when we were children or just whatever, and yet letting them make their own mistakes. Let's teach them how not to make the ones that we made, but let them make their own, and then comfort them while they're making their mistakes, because they're going to. And we're not the final boss authority, except when they're young, kind of a thing. So that's how a pastor should be. Jack Hiles, you know, fine, great father, but not, well, Dr. Hiles says this. Well, does that make it right? No, the King James Bibles are final authority, not the pastor guy. This pastor needs to be able to have the guts to take on the rich people, which is probably one of the hardest things for a pastor to do, because the rich people have money that the ministry could totally use. And they could use it to help other people. They could use it to help the pastor. They could use it to help the church. Well, everybody else doesn't give as much as them. I've always said that somebody, I knew so many people that didn't have much and gave a lot. And I knew a lot of people over all these years that had a lot but didn't give much in comparison. Not complaining. We were well taken care of, but I see that all over the country. You know, all this hassle about the rich people and all this kind of stuff with the taxes and, oh, you know, everybody just wants everything to be given to them. It's a whole different ballgame. Isn't it Ezekiel where it talks about one of the problems that Sodom had was the fact that they didn't strengthen the hand of the poor? See, that's what America's not doing. America, I'm bunny trailing here. America is not strengthening the hand of the poor. We're just constantly giving them handouts. And that doesn't make them stronger at all. And I live out here in the Pine Ridge Reservation. Don't live on it, but I teach the kids from the Pine Ridge Reservation. And we're one of the poorest counties in the country. We've got first three or four poorest counties in the country here. And yet these are the minorities that have been given more money than all the other of them combined, I was told, by NBC or whatever the thing special. It was a very good special by, or who was it? I forget, Stossel. And they've done nothing with it. They just demand more handouts. So they've not gotten any stronger at all. In fact, I got one of my kids, we talked about it one day in school, and this one girl says, yeah, people should just give us money. Well, why? Just because. That's what we do. We should be given money. So we're not strengthening the hand of the poor. So these pastors need to be able to take on the rich, and usually what you're going to do is you're going to make them mad, because they're going to say, well, all he wants is our money anyway. No, it's not all he wants, but yeah, you've got the money to use it in the ministry. Please do. The devils, they got all the cults, all the different things. They got tons of money. Look at the brochures they hand out, first class. Look at the mailings they do. Look at the pictures they do. Look at the TV quality they have. Look at the quality of their online sermons. Look at all this stuff. And yet, the truth, the King James rightly divided, Paul following, not mid-act, just Paul following, rightly divided Bible, little money, if any. And when this website goes, it goes. And when we run out, we run out. And it's happening. And so to take on the rich is a tough, tough issue. You know, this pastor also needs to be able to fight the fight of faith. When people give up and go backwards, it's because they've lost the faith. They've lost, not the faith of Christ, but they've lost faith in the fact that this is a battle of faith. We don't know for sure. We haven't seen the signs. We haven't seen anything. We're going by faith of a King James Bible, what it says, is what it means. Rightly divided. Do we know that for a fact? We know that by faith. And we're going by faith. Well, everybody's got a faith. I know. Everybody's faith is wrong. It's that simple. And it's just following the King James Bible, rightly divided, Paul only, pre-King James 1611, post-King James 1611. For the video people out there this morning, I got an original facsimile of a King James Bible, 1611. It's a monster. It's a bear. And it's heavy. And it's big. And you'll see it in the video. And it was, somebody gave that to me and sent it to a friend, did, and it was just a fantastic thing. Just reminds me that here we have our little handheld Bibles, our little pocket Bibles. And I still do not trust a Kindle Bible. I do not trust any computer Bible. I don't trust the technology Bibles. The small, you know, I just can't read from a little box. I can't read a computer screen. I need a book. I'm just old-fashioned. I need a book. And I'm so glad I don't have to carry that beastly 1611 around with me. It's huge. I remember Jack Hiles' Bible. We all had to have a Jack Hiles Bible one time, or a Sutek Bible. Great big. It was a small Bible, but it was still thick, and every page was a blank. Every other page was a blank page for our great intelligent scholarly studies. See, and you'd come bopping up to one of these straight things, or you'd go to somebody's church and you'd proudly carry your Bible with you. Well, if you want to do that, grab an original 1611 facsimile, of course, digitally photographed, so it's an exact copy, and carry that with you, and be glad that you've got what you've got today. Really, how do I get into that? Anyway, fight the fight of faith. A pastor is supposed to remind certain things to his people, one of them the fact that we're going to suffer reproach, and he's to preach the word, and preach the word as an evangelist. And his pastor's supposed to get his strength from the King James Bible, strength from God. So that's what we've done so far. So let's jump into this thing. Let's try to move along quicker, because this is going to be a 10-part series. Who's going to listen to a whole 10-part series to see what a real pastor is supposed to be, you know? And see, so far the things that I've said, they're not difficult. It's not complicated. It's not impossible at all. Preach public testimony, we're trusting a living God, show them how that is, help them see how they approve already, that's just rightly dividing, how to please God, manner of life, be a father, care for your people. What's so hard about caring for your people? It's hard to care for people when you haven't got the money to help them. And yes, money does help people. It just does, you know. Well, it's not the answer. You know, it is for some people. It truly is. I wish I could tell you more, but I just shut my mouth and let God take care of things through his people. How to be the father, the parent type of a pastor, he has to take on the rich, fight the fight of faith. He's got to remind people of things. He just needs to remind them and preach the word as an evangelist, not a church builder, and get his strength from his King James Bible, not from gain. So this morning, let's take on another one. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Or did we do this? I don't think we did this one Sunday night. You can tell me really quick, like, if I've done this one already. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. Those missionary verses. I might have talked about it, but let's do it one more time if I didn't. 1 Thessalonians. I drew the line above it, but I'm thinking we already talked about it. But oh well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is a great chapter. It's what our testimony is to people. We're missionaries. Each one of you out there is a missionary. And I'm afraid to say that we're not missionary like we ought to, because we're going to suffer reproach and nobody wants to hear it. These are the days we're living in. I mean, my little seeds in school are still... Devil's still tweaking those things with people. So I got to be so careful. I'm so tired of being so careful. I am so tired of being so careful. Anyway, I remember everybody would amen, and everybody, all the men in the Bible studies would say, you know, go ahead and preach it out there. Yeah, go ahead. And one of the guys even told me, would you preach it? Because I don't have the guts to tell my wife, well, yeah, fine, we'll preach it out there. But then I noticed the offering's going down. You could always tell. It's true. I mean, it really is true. You know you're hurting, or you're preaching too hard when the offerings are going down, and you know when you're making them happy when the offerings are going up. It's reality. It's stupid, but it's reality. Anyway. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, this is just a missionary illustration here. So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. See, an example is everybody should do what you're doing. No one in samples to show them that you're trying to follow the risen Savior. And you're an example. You're an illustration for them. They've got their things they need to do. They don't have to copy you. The modern Bible say imitate. Nobody has to imitate me. Nobody has to imitate any of you. Nobody has to imitate God or Jesus or Paul. But they're in samples. And I think it just kind of came out. I think that's a good word to use. We're like illustrations of being Christians. For I'm not changing the word. It's still in a sample. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Okay, so we told people, not only in Macedonia and the Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Okay, so enough was said. You know, you come into the church and hear this preacher for the first time. Why did you not hear this from your friend? Why didn't you tell him some of this stuff? you know, come to church and let the pastor tell you what I'm talking about here. Why can't you tell somebody why you're so excited about your Bible? Why do we have to have a pastor to take them to? And it says here, you guys did such a good job of sounding out the words that we didn't have to say anything when we got there. That's really good right there. It's a good illustration. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Okay, this is Paul's people. This is the Paul's writings. This is the King James Bible rightly divided. That this it shows that Bible has entered into you. It's done something to you. It's changed you. Not only has it changed your day-to-day walk, your manner of life, but it's changed who you are and how you handle things. And then it says, and how you turn to God from idols. Now, when somebody gets supposedly saved in this modern Christian world, their lives kind of change, but there's just change in their flesh. And the pastor's got to keep them pumped up so they can do some of these things still. But it's not what we're talking about here. When you read what Paul's manner of life is, that's what people will see. There's lost people that have better standards. There's lost people that dress better than Paul following Christians. There's lost people that talk better than Paul risen Savior following Christians. There's lost people that don't watch some of the stuff that Paul people watch. Their standards are better than what Paul teaches to us. Isn't that just shameful? That's our flesh. So before we beat ourselves up over it, it's our flesh. Paul fought the flesh, we fight the flesh. Those guys don't have to fight their flesh because they're part of it. So they do some good stuff and then boom, it's history, it's gone. It doesn't last long. Or it's just a show. Because they're still attached to their flesh. And our flesh can do good things. And if the devil's going to trick us, he's going to get our flesh to do some good things, so we think we're doing a good job as a Christian. Paul comes along, the risen Savior, through Paul, shows us in our scriptures that whenever you think you're doing great, he just reminds you, by the way, you're still not. You ever notice that with your reading? There's always something that reminds you that you're not doing good enough to warrant God's physical blessings. Well, maybe I'm just a scumbucket. Well, maybe that's true. I guess maybe all you guys out there on the website, you're just living a perfect life and everything is just hunky-dory and you got all the money you need and you're happy and you just know God's still blessing you no matter what Paulson says, you know. And your kids love you and the kids are following your footsteps and everything is just going great. Your job is secure. you know who to vote for and everything is just fine. You've got your flesh in control. You know when to turn it off. You know never to turn it off. Never to turn it on. You don't smoke. You don't drink. You don't mess around on the stuff you shouldn't. You're just fantastic. Well, good for you. And I'm happy for you. I'm glad you got your flesh under control. My flesh still bothers the fire out of me. I mean, I know what I want to talk about this morning. My flesh tells me, why don't you talk about money this morning? Let's just put the pressure. No. Let's not. Well, let's just talk about... No, let's not talk about that. Let's stick to what we got here. Let's see if we can't show somebody somewhere what God would like out of a pastor. Or to help us realize why we're not going to church. It's because the pastors out there are nothing like they need to be. What about those imperfect ones? There's plenty of us around. But come on, the guy should at least... There's nothing impossible with what a pastor should be doing, according to Paul. Anyway. Okay. So, but there it is again. See how ye turned to God, back to the scripture, verse 9. How ye turned to God, and that's what it says, and that's what he says for us to do in Acts 18, I think it is. Or is it 26:18? I think it's 26:18. So what we're supposed to do, Paul is supposed to open our eyes, verse 18, 26 of Acts. He's supposed to open our eyes and turn us from darkness to light and turn us from the power of Satan unto God. Verse 20, should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Do the works that we should be doing because we're Christians, because God has cleaned us up from the inside. And he says in Romans 12 that for reasonable service we can at least have our body should be a living sacrifice. Meaning our body should not get what it wants. That's what he says. So here are some people that actually did that, and they're showing they're living they're serving the living and true God instead of following their idols. So it can be done. And then the kicker, then the good sentence at the end here is verse 10. While we're doing all this, learning how to change, or trying to do this, and we've battled, then we see here, and to wait for his son from heaven. So that's what we're doing. We're just waiting for the Lord to come back. Not for the second coming. Whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We won't be here for the coming, for the wrath. So we're not waiting. We're not waiting for Jesus to come for his second coming. We're not waiting for that. Because if we're waiting for that, then we're going to go through a horrible tribulation. Well, we're having a hard time right now. Yes, we are. But we're not having the hardest time as we could. And it's coming. Look at the next president, whoever that's going to be. You know, there's only one that's constitutional at all, that if he's going to be elected, the whole country would have to change before he's elected. Well, that isn't going to happen. And these other guys, they're just white Obamas. We know that they're going to be put, who's ever going to be president is going to be put in. They're going to vote the guy in. So we know things are going to get worse. The economy, it's not possible to fix. It's just not possible to fix. Unless they change the money system, 666, give everybody a certain amount of money, which they're talking about, and blah, 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 blah. We know what's coming. We're waiting for his son from heaven. That's the rapture we're waiting for, not his second coming. Because we are delivered from the wrath to come. What wrath is there to come? It's called the tribulation, Jacob's trouble. This is where God is done with the Gentiles, because the Gentiles are done with him. I think I'm just rambling, aren't I? And we'll be taken out. So while we're making all these changes, we're trying to change it, we're fighting these battles amongst ourselves all the time. I've been told, probably true, that half the reason I'm sleeping so much, because I just get so down about stuff or depressed or whatever, and I make my list of whines. Man, it's the best list I've ever had. But listen, let's fight this stuff, and let's just wait for Jesus to come back for the rapture. Let's just wait for him. He's coming. So let's just keep, well, what if he doesn't come before I die? Well, you still see him. But you're dying. Well, okay. When you're dead, it's cool. When you're dying, it's not good. But, you know, I guess when you're laying there dying, you got something to think about. Oh, pretty soon I'm going to be seeing the Lord. Oh, I wonder if I've confessed all my sins. I wonder if I've... I so wish I could go back and do this all over again. Yeah, so do we all, but you can't. So just be thankful for what? Well, the fact that he's taking care of everything. None of that stuff's been imputed. We're going to have some fantastic things to think of when you're laying in bed, hurting and dying and gagging and choking. And you're going to have all these people coming to see you, you know, and they're going to say, oh, we're praying for you. Well, why, what are you praying? How are you praying? Are you praying that my pain goes away because your prayers aren't being answered? Are you praying that I'm going to live longer like this? I don't want to live longer like this. Why weren't you praying for me before I got all this sickness? Why are you praying for me now? Tons of questions to ask people when they come to see you. But chances are they'll just give you a pill and say, here, take this and we'll just take care of you till you die, you know. And I was thinking also this Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is a horrible thing. I'm not mocking it at all. But you know who doesn't care that you're going to have Alzheimer's? You. You're not going to feel bad about making people do what they're going to have to do to take care of, because you're not going to have a clue. You know? And I said a long time ago, we, our individual self, we don't die. It's not like we're waiting to die and then just kind of disappear. No, we just cross the bridge into this other side that is absolutely spectacularly fantastic, if this King James Bible is correct, which I believe it is. So everybody dies but you. Now, I'll die to everybody else. I won't be around for them to complain about me and to ignore me and reject me and hate me and blah, 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 blah. I won't be around for that. So I'll die to them. But to me, I'm just going to suddenly finally fall asleep or just kind of take my drugs in one of these moments or something. I'm just going to go, whoa, what happened here? Wow, this is, I'm hoping when I get there, I'm going to say, this is just like the Bible said. I don't expect God to say, well, I'm sorry you thought that I wrote a perfect book, because I didn't. You know, I had some mistakes, and I showed some guys what the mistakes were, but you wouldn't listen to them. and I gave you over 500 different Bibles to figure me out with. He's not going to tell me that. I want him to say to me, I'm glad you stuck to the book. And you lost your friends, you lost your money, you lost your job, you lost your reputation, you lost your character, you lost, but you stuck to my book. And I, you know, the reward time is coming for that. That's, I can't give that up. Anyway, that was a long ramble. What's that? Oh, okay, 1 Thessalonians. Let's go on another one. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's go to verse 1. That's a long ways to go. Yeah, well, it goes through up to 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 to 12. Well, let's just kind of scan through that thing. What are we talking about here? Oh, there's that father stuff again, see? But we were gentle among you in verse 7, as a nurse cherisheth her children. 8, being affectionate, desirous of you. Members, brethren, remember, brethren, our labor and travail for you. This is a pastor. This is how he should be towards his people. Verse 3, his exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. He was, in verse 4, he's the preached, he was put in trust with the gospel. Verse 1, he doesn't want to have preached in vain. For yourselves, brethren, know how our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. How many people have I preached to that it was in vain? Because I'm no longer doing it anymore. These guys suffered in verse 2, but they went back to where they were taught, where they were treated poorly, which I'd still like to do. It'd be fun just to walk in and go, hi, can I preach today? Oh, the silence would be golden. 5, didn't use flattering words. I mean, this whole 12 verses is all about pastoring. Not to seek the glory. 10, holy and just, unblameable. That would be nice if we were, but we got to remember that we're just like everybody else. Everybody else has to remember they're just like you, and you're just like them. Should behave properly. I tried. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged, there's that verse. And all this kind of stuff says, conclusion here, that you would walk worthy of God. You can. What's that song Rex would always sing? Worthy. How does that song go? Are you? Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Yes, but these Requinites and Baptist guys don't realize, and we probably don't either. We can still walk worthy of being a Christian. We fight our flesh, we fight our friends, we fight our jobs, we fight the debt, the money thing, we fight all these things. But we can, if we try hard enough, it's possible to walk worthy of God. How can you say that? Because verse 12 is a continuation of verse 11 with a comma. So a pastor especially, if he exhorts and comforts and charges every one of you, as a father does his children, that ye would walk worthy of God. So we can. We just don't want to. Our flesh fights us all the way. Stay in your book, you'll fight, you'll do better. Get out of your book, you'll quit doing it. How many times do you want to just open up that book and read something? I have no desire to read that right now. I can look at some pictures of South Dakota. That's just how we are. Look at verse 13. It is not, we know it's not the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And then people have to realize, which effectually worketh also in you. Does it work in everybody? No, in you that believe. I think it works in people that don't believe because I think it makes them mad. But it's not working in them effectually. It's not helping them. Verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face. A pastor has to have a desire to see his people. Endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. I wanted to see people come to church and want to be fed. They wanted to hear this stuff. And if somebody wants to hear it, I don't mind telling them. Just happens to be that Marilyn knows that. Oh, our family left. Bummer. Marilyn, you know that. Grandma Kent's there. You know that I would take a long time to say something. I would just go on, teach more and teach more and teach more until we're choking and gagging. But just because somebody asked a question. Somebody asked me a question, and I like to sit down, open my pages, and just start going. Verse 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. I mean, he wanted to see these people. But there's the other problem. Satan hinders us. Satan hinders you. Satan hinders me to teach you stuff, to teach me stuff, to teach other people stuff. They listen to this stuff. It's a problem. Satan, it's our flesh. Sure, it can be our flesh. It can also be Satan stopping us from getting the word out. Okay, let's go to Ephesians. How are we doing for time? This is going to still be a 10-part series, isn't it? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We know what that one says, but let's go there anyway. Actually, there should be nothing new in this whole series, and I'm really disappointed that our Mr. and Mrs. there didn't get to stay. I hope it was just an internet problem or timing or something. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Here we go. This is the classic place. This is where you can always. This is the stuff to remember. This is the place to remember to show somebody the difference between a right pastor and a wrong pastor. What a church is doing right, what a church is doing wrong. And I think you all know where we can. In fact, I'm going to give you the chance to type it in. No, we don't take the time for that. Website people don't have that luxury. So we compare Ephesians chapter 4 with Acts chapter 2. We go to Acts chapter 2 at the same time, and we show people, this is what your pastor is doing right here. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, we have been baptized, you know, and there's people coming to the church, and we're teaching the apostles' doctrine in 42, and there's fear in the people's lives because we see what God is doing through these apostles and the pastors, and we have fear in our souls. We give everything we can, sold our possessions and goods and parted them to everybody, and we continued daily with one accord, and we did everything we can to have favor with all the people in the community. That's what they're doing in churches today. Now, that's wrong. Well, there's a couple of reasons you can say it's wrong. One is the fact that Ephesians chapter 4, is that the word would the word be contradicts? It's just the opposite of that. Plus, we know that Acts chapter 2 isn't written to us. It's a great commission series. And we also know that we're not supposed to follow the apostles' doctrine. We're supposed to follow Paul. We also know that we're not supposed to be looking for signs and wonders, which they were doing. So we know that that chapter is not written to us. It's that simple. Ignore it. I don't say not read it. Just when you read it, realize that isn't to us today. And I'll virtually guarantee almost anybody that's going to church nowadays, an actual church building with an actual pastor, the congregation, and the whole bit, that they're participating in Acts chapter 2 in some form or another. The easiest one probably for them to do, even Paul guys, they're not doing the apostles' doctrine, they're doing Paul's. Okay, they win that one. Okay, they're not teaching signs and wonders. Okay, that's understandable. And they're not big on their possessions and goods. It's just a lot of rich people can do Paul because it's, you know, they get money to do it. Do the baptizing thing if you want, but if you're truly being saved, you could say that that's a spiritual baptism. You can worm your way through that one. The one thing that's easy to do in Acts chapter 2 is verse 47. That's having favor with all the people. Because that's what our flesh wants. We want people out there to want to come to our church. So what do? We change our music. We change our preaching. We change the preacher. We change how we dress. We change this. We make it comfortable. We make it happy for people. We try to show them how to fix America. We show them what's going to happen with the gold. We show them what's going to happen in the economy. We show them what's going to happen. And the pastor's supposed to teach relevant stuff so these people are excited they want to come to church. You know what you're trying to do? Admit it. You're trying to have favor with all the people. That's what's going on in the churches. And you've got to change what you're preaching. You've got to change what you say about Titus chapter 2. You've got to change about women working. You've got to change about loud people, women. You got to change what the man's supposed to be, the strong man in the house. You got to ignore all that stuff because you will not find favor with all the people if you don't. King James only, get off that. They don't understand, so why browbeat them about it? Why teach them? Why say anything? It's just to keep them from coming to church. And the music thing. Oh, come on, the music thing. Let's just quit singing these old hymns. Let's just have more music and less preaching. You know, this is what we're doing in the Paul churches as much as anybody else. And the websites show it. The websites prove it. And if you're not going to do that, you're not going to have enough money. You're not going to have the friends. You're not going to have favor with all the people in the community. You're not going to be blessed by the county. The list goes on. You're going to suffer reproach, and you're going to suffer persecution, just like Paul says. So we go to Ephesians chapter 4, and we see what the whole purpose of the local church is, period. Verse 12, for the perfecting of saints. I better go to verse 11. And he gave some apostles, okay, he did one time. And some prophets, he did it one time. And some evangelists, sure. Paul's supposed to be doing the work of an evangelist. And some pastors and teachers. And I believe this, there's no comma there. I believe a pastor should be a teacher and a teacher should be a pastor. You got to do both. You got to teach people while you pastor them, and you got to pastor people while you teach them. Okay, now why? Here it is. This is what we have today. This is what it's supposed to be. For the perfecting of the saints, which, by the way, is in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Okay, so that's our job, is for the perfecting of the saints, is to help them make their changes that pleases God through the scriptures. Okay? There's his first purpose. Next one is the work of the ministry. There's supposed to be a work there. What does the ministry do? It ministers. We're to help the poor people. No doubt. Except when somebody came to me one time and said, I don't believe what your church teaches, but I need some of your help. I said, well, then you don't need to be here. And if you're going to help the poor, you help strengthen the hand of the poor. If you're going to, the list goes on. So yeah, there's a ministry involved. All sorts of things can take place in your ministry. Every now and then somebody sends a big check here and says, here, could you give this out to some people that need it? And so I do. That's the work of a ministry. The website's a tough ministry to have a work of, because there you are. We're not together anywhere. Well, maybe the work of this ministry is to help people see what the truth is amongst the scattered people who are Christians. Or maybe the work of this ministry is to help people who think they're Christians find out that they're really not. They've had another Jesus, and how to rightly divide their Bible and get this thing figured out. Maybe the work of this ministry is to help people realize that their Bible they have is not even the Word of God. Maybe the work of this ministry is to give you folks, anybody on the website, a place to send your money, don't take this wrong, so it can be used in a ministerial fashion, or even just to help us keep this thing going. That's still a work of the ministry. And then the third thing is for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying, the teaching, to help us learn the knowledge of the risen Savior. Knowledge, understanding, then wisdom. That's the purpose of a pastor. That's the purpose of a local church. Now, it comes together. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, not just unity of agreeing. Let's ignore all the stuff we don't agree with. Let's just be no. There's a unity that is real, and there's a unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. We are still supposed to be living best we can to be like Christ, not in an imitation fashion. I don't want to say it, be like Christ. We can't, but stature in the fullness of Christ. There we go. Make that sounds better. In order to do that, verse 14, we henceforth be no more children. We've got to grow up. Tossed to and fro. This is with children. This is a child. She's tossed to and fro. Grandma believes this. Grandpa believes that. Dad believes this. Mom believes this. Aunts and uncles believe this. My friend believes this. Wherever they're at, they'll be whatever they need to be. They lose their parents in this wicked, sinful world, and that happens, a cursed world, then they're going to start thinking like the government teaches them. Remember that Cuban kid? Forgot his name. His mother, they were coming over from Cuba, and they made it, but his mother died or something. And this kid, he wanted this freedom, But he sends they send him back. Our government sends him back to Cuba. Now today he's a Cuban communist to the full. Well, of course, he was just a kid. He's going to believe what people teach him. And that's what we've done. How many of us have believed what we were taught? Never checked it out ourselves. Now we're adults. Now we're spiritual adults. We can take this Bible, we can look into it and find out, you know what Paulson's saying? He's wrong. Okay, fine. Show me. Tell me. Or, you're now capable of taking this Bible and finding out what's right in your life and what to do in your life, and not be carried about by being a Baptist or being a Paul guy. I mean, there's as much confusion in the Paul world as there is in the Baptist world. I think we've lost some friends. I think we've lost some income. There it is. Because I don't support the mid-Acts people. I think there's some people that were given very good to the ministry over to the website, but they heard me bashing the mid-Acts, and at least the mid-Acts has got some friends. They got friends in there, and they got people to have fellowship with, and they know that they're wrong. The mid-Acts crowd is a confused bunch of Paul teachings with lousy testimonies, but they're good people. Well, that's not the point. Their music is bad, okay? They're the women running, the men. What are they teaching? Are they teaching the stuff that we talked about this morning? No, they're not. No, I guarantee you they're not. There's always exceptions, but I'll tell you what, I think it's hurt the ministry here. Well, I'm not going to stop doing this stuff just so we can keep it going. Anyway, verse 14, carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Are you able to handle this cunning craftiness against you, or are you going to be slickered by the sleight of men? Are you going to be slighted? Are you going to fall away from this stuff? These people are lying in wait to deceive you. They're trying to get you. They want to get you away from Paulson. They want to get you away from this website. They want to get you away from your King James Bible, so rightly divided. They want to get you away from what you're trying not to do. They want to get you back into it. They want to get you back to the debt thing. They want to get you to do the drinking and the carousing and all this other stuff. They want to get you back to that because that's what they do. And we got God's grace, you know. Well, I know we got God's grace. That's right. It's not going to be imputed. I realize that. But do these people realize that it's still not supposed to cause someone else to stumble, so it's going to burn? We've got God's grace. That doesn't mean that everything we do is not going to burn. Is God's grace, he's going to ignore it all? No. If it doesn't edify, if it isn't expedient, if it causes somebody to stumble, if it's because of your flesh, and if it's a power over you, no matter how, whatever it is, it's going to burn. And they don't teach that. They just teach God's grace. And they teach about when the church started. All this kind of stuff. And then it goes on. Speaking the truth in love. That's pretty tough. This is the rich. You go back to the rich. Preach to the rich. Why? Because you love them. You care for them. You don't want their money, but you need their money. The ministry needs the money. But that's not why you're preaching it to them. You love them. Because he says in Timothy, he says here at the end of chapter 6 there, he says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, laying up in store for themselves. It's for themselves that guys should preach to the rich people. Say, here, get rid of that money. Give it to the ministry. Give it to the website. Give it to somebody who's having a struggle. Give it to somebody. You're laying a good foundation for yourself. And you've got the money to do it. So do it. That's speaking the truth in love. And they just get mad at you. All you want is our money. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Our local church was supposed to be a body, and most local churches, if not all of them, have arthritis and their joints can't even click together. They hate each other. They criticize. They bash. Been there, seen it. I think it still exists almost everywhere. probably the best thing for us and our family here is the fact that we don't live with each other every day and see each other every day, which is really sad. We could always find something wrong with me, with you, with somebody else. We're so good at that. Anyway, so there's the purpose. Then look at verse 17. We got time for this? No, we really don't. We'll pick this up tonight. We're not going to get very far, are we? So this is verse. We'll start with verse 17 tonight. Okay, there you go, folks. There's your stuff for this morning.